Hello and welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Crack. This is the podcast where I ask you, what's The Crack? So, what is The Crack? Guys, get in touch. Let us know. We'll see what's going on. And I hope you're all well. How have you been doing? It's been about a week. It's not been more than a week. I'm sticking to this one a week thing. So, it's not been more than a week. It's been about a week. How are you getting on? What has been happening in your orbit of life? You know, where you're the middle. You're the, where are you? The sun? No, the planets go around you. Yeah, all the revolution happens around you. So yeah, hope in your orbit everything's all right. Because everyone's the main character in their own story. You know, when you're watching Harry Potter and he's going through his all of his adventures, all the Hogwarts adventures, there's some kid. He's got his own thing going on. Might not be as exciting as Harry Potter, but there, you know, there's got to be not even Ron or Hermione. There's, you know, there's Johnny Patilkin, 2 years below him, in Hufflepuff. He's got his own struggles. Just because it's not called Johnny's story, he's still as important. You know, he's the main character in his own plot. To him, Harry's just some prick that's got the attention always surrounding him, and that's not on. Not good. So how are you, the main character in your story? Hope you're well. Hope everything's going smoothly. Hope work's been alright. Hope you're not burning yourself out. I hope your car's running fine. You know, all these types of things. What else? Maybe your flats, or maybe you own a house. Hope you're making your mortgage payments on time. All these little things you wouldn't have worried about as a kid suddenly become crushing as an adult. So I hope you're doing well. Hope you're living, thriving, and at least surviving, guys. Yeah. If you hear anything going on in the background there, it's because Charlotte is very caring and lovingly making me my dinner. I believe we're having a burrito bowl. Don't know what the fuck that is, but maybe I'll let you know next week. Maybe I'll, you know, what's the crack, guys? Have you ever had a burrito bowl? Best things ever. Or maybe I just, you know, won't talk about them. Maybe the shame of not enjoying them. So, what is going on in my little orbit? If you listened to last week, you'll have heard about the shower, what would you call it, Chronicles, conundrum, issues, the little bastards leaking into the floor, and it's going down to the guy downstairs. So, you know, we're sharing our water with him, not on purpose, it's not a good thing. So we had the plumber come around, he had a look, said he would replace the hose, what would you call it? Replace that pipe that goes from the actual thing you press on to the shower head. So you replace that. And then he never didn't hear from him for a while. And then Charlotte got a voicemail saying I'm outside. And she phoned him back. And he's like, oh, I said that like 5 days ago. And she's like, well, not calling you a liar, but well, maybe you're right. Is that background? Maybe it's gone. That was Charlotte filling the pipe. And this, filling the pan. But this room that I'm in, it's the spare room, it's got the boiler in the cupboard. So whenever somebody flushes a toilet or uses a tap, or sometimes just because it feels like it, you'll hear noises. Yeah, should probably get some of those black foam soup. Yeah, more water. Anyway. And the joiner came around and stuck on the hose thing, so that's all good. And then, not the joiner, the plumber. And then the joiner sent me a text, sent me a WhatsApp, saying, can I come round at 5 o'clock on this day? And I didn't really want him to, because I was night shift that night. And 5 o'clock is when I'm sort of trying to get up and try and shower and cook and find the will to fucking live. 5 o'clock is around that time. So I woke up about, well, I got home from work that morning, slept a little bit, woke up, about to sleep, woke up, but I couldn't rest knowing I had to be up to let the guy in, you know, so he can come and see the floor and see what the situation was. So at 3 o'clock, I was like, you know what, fuck, I'm up. All right, that's it. I just won't sleep. I just won't sleep. I'll brave it, guys. You know, at some point you've had men storming beaches at war, getting shot at by machine gun nests. You've had folk jumping out of planes and men running into buildings that are on fire. But I thought, I'll brave this. I'll go without a few hours of sleep, because these are the sacrifices. And I waited for him, and I made the most disgusting dinner I've had in a very long time. I made Now, since you asked, I made cheesy pasta out of the box, which is usually delicious, but I thought, right, okay, what can I jazz it up with a little bit? And we had made a few mushrooms left. Very decisive food, the mushroom. Personally, I love them. I love the plain ones. You know, I'm not into, like, extreme mushrooms or psychedelics. I've never done mushrooms. Every trip balls and the wee fun guy. Oh, that's the Mexican co-host making her presence known. There must be somebody daring to walk past in the car park outside. Imagine that. Imagine using your own car park. So yeah, I had mushrooms. Made some bacon left over in the fridge. So I chopped that up as well. Oh, hang on. And we're back. Due to the magic of editing, would you even know I'd been gone? Chica was very upset. As I said, somebody decided to walk past at the car park at this time of night, and for all she knows, they were going to break in and steal her biscuits. What was I talking about? I believe it was the cheesy pasta. So I had some mushrooms fried, and I had some bacon that had been in the fridge. I cut that into tiny wee bits, fried that as well. Poured some chili, dried chili flakes, not chili powder, but actual flakes, and added a bit of added the last of the frozen peas from the freezer. Which sounds fine in theory, but where I went wrong, guys. We had a tub in the cupboard, been there for a long time, of dried onions for putting on like top of salads or things like that, and they're quite nice. I like them. You know, if you're making a burger, you put some dried onions on them. It's its own unique flavour. So I thought, right, I'll have a few of them just to spruce it up. So I added a little bit. And I was like, you know what, there's not many left. Fuck it, I'm not putting the tub back in the cupboard. So out of the rest, and somehow there's a lot more than I planned. So, poof, oops, too many. Well, see, they'd been in the cupboard some time, and it hadn't been closed properly, so they weren't entirely crispy onions. They were quite soft. So when I mixed them through my dinner, and I was eating my pasta and bacon and mushrooms and peas, it kind of had the texture of, like, cornflakes that have been in the bowl a bit too long. Still a little bit of bite to them, but they're all soggy. And it was quite a disgusting, horrible, gross dinner. So that was it. And then at 5:15, a message from the joiner saying, hey, I can't make it. Can I come round tomorrow? And I was, well, okay. You know, you can't say, you know, what can you do? They hold the cards. They're putting down the winning hand. That's them. No. Yeah, sure, cool. But believe it or not, I had plans for 5 o'clock the next day because that was my day off. So I couldn't get back to him straight away. I had to check if Charlotte would be home because we're not always in. But Charlotte was home, so we came round, checked out, found the source of the leak. And it's coming round at some point to nano-fix the floor. The source of the leak is the screen. We don't have a shower curtain. We've got one of these glass screens. You know, just for the water to run down and underneath. Now, the bath is sealed along the wall at the bottom of the tiles, as baths usually are. Now, not too long ago when I was talking to the landlord about this, he phoned me one night. Not too late. Charlotte was still up watching Grey's Anatomy for a dramatic hospital. I think I'll avoid that hospital if I'm ever sick. He phoned me, and my phone, because it's old, apparently very small. People laugh how small my phone is, but it does the job. It's not the size, mate, it's how you use it. No, right, okay, so yeah, very good. Very good. Cock joke. So, landlord phoned. He's asked me questions about the size of the bath and the length of the, from wall to wall, in case he wants to install a shower pole in case I want to dance at home. Throw money at me. No, put up a shower curtain, things like that. And I'm measuring it. Got the old tape measure out. I'm doing my best. And I have to call upon the assistance of Charlotte because there's nothing to hook the tape measure to the other end. So that's all fine and dandy. So Charlotte's now in the room. Landlord's on speakerphone because my phone's old and it doesn't work through the wee earpiece thing. Well, it does, but it's like a pilot, but a takeoff, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be at this street, it's going to get some headwinds. Yeah, so I put on speakerphone. Charlotte's in the room, my lady, you know. Got to be a man in front of her. And the landlord says, maybe when the joiner's around, you can fill the bath with water to see if it's weighed down. All right, okay, yeah, that's fine. Because the weight of what is in the bath can affect the sealant around the edge. So, okay, that checks out. And we agree, you know, okay, concur. And then he mentions that I don't look like a very light guy. Pardon? Yes, what am I, about 14 stone? A little more. And he wasn't rude, but he was just, yes, no, I was trying to be polite. I'm 16 stone and you're taller than me. Charlotte, at this point, is aware that it's speakerphone, so she's covered her mouth to stop herself laughing out loud, and she's going red, and she's in the hallway, buckled over, struggling to breathe at how funny this sudden fucking, I don't know what you'd call it, sucker punch of a weight job. And I'm a bit more, you know, I'm 17, 18 stone, like, I'm fucking not 19 stone, but yeah, you know, yes, no, just, you know, in case maybe just with you standing in the shower, it's weighing it down and breaking the ceiling. And fucking hell, I'm not that bad. Not one of these fucking circus sideshow. Look at this guy, stands in the shower and now the water leaks through the cracks. He's that heavy. Not that bad. Fuck. So we laughed. Believe it or not, I didn't go in. Well, I mean, afterwards I just went to Asda and I got myself a pint of ice cream and I just... Oh, no, that's right. We laughed at it. It was fucking hilarious. Out of nowhere. Yeah, I'll get the dryer in. That'd be fine. Have you considered it's because you're fat, Lewis? Whoa! I mean, that's not what he said. That's how it's taken. So that's what's going on. Although what I have discovered, which is a weird thing, since I've not always had a shaved head. I've not always been bald, by the way of saying that. I'm not always the follically challenged among us with all the struggle. No, so I shave my head because it thins. It thins fucking. There's none at the front, you know. So it's heading back. It's receding. That's the word, receding. So I now shave it. And it started off with just buzzing it for the number one down to the sort of, you know, Phil Mitchell. You know, just down to sort of stubble. But after that, I've decided, I now like to just razor it off. Shaving gel in the shower. Shit. Take it off, down to the skin. Every second day, every day, ideally. You know, just keep it down. Keeps it clean, keeps it neat. It's nice. Ever since I've started doing that, I've always been doing that in the shower. And since the shower's been leaking, I've been doing it in the bathroom sink to minimize how long I have to be in the shower for. And guys, I really enjoy it. So, if you're out there and you're shaving your head in the shower, try doing it in the sink before the shower. Like, not in the, you know, I'm not saying you fill the sink up with razor blades and, like, shake your head in it or something. I'm not saying shave it in the sink, but you just use the sink, use the mirror. Very nice. It's very nice. It's a lot easier, you know, because, again, in the shower, I've got one of these steamless mirrors that steams up the fucking second the shower starts, so it doesn't really work. So, yeah, that's the shower fucking saga continues. But, yeah, Charlotte could not breathe. She could not breathe with the phone call. Speaking of Charlotte, there's been a few things with her this week. First of all, just because I like spooky stuff, her and her friends were having the same scary dream. Kind of weird. Something to do with a hen party at like a remote house with ghosts. But I was on night shift and Charlotte said, "Magic," and I woke up thinking there's somebody holding my hand. Fuck that, I'm not coming home. But because the dog hadn't reacted, she was fine. But her friend had the same sort of dream where they were at the same... Well, the dream before she woke up thinking somebody was holding her hand. Her friend had a very similar dream. Oh, that's weird. But who knows what goes on in these female group chats? Talking about Channing Tatum and the such. Who knows? Or ghosts. Maybe they have very intellectual, deep, philosophical conversations about life and death and the aftermath and what happens next. And it leads to nightmares. Or maybe, and she's not told me this, maybe she was just fucking munching on cheese before bed. And that's what did it. And then just giving a shout out to Charlotte. She's a fucking gem. She's a first aider at work, at her workplace. She is the certificate holder. You know, in times of crisis, who do you phone? Phone her. And she'll come along and help. So she's the first aider. She was just about to come pick me up because I'd been Well, I've got a story about this as well. I was donating blood yesterday. I was donating plasma yesterday, but I'll tell you about that after. So she was just about to leave to come pick me up, and somebody at work was in need of aid, first and foremost. So Charlotte, being the first aider, sprung into action, and she dealt with that. The first time she's actually had to use her skills, particular set of skills she's acquired. Makes her a nightmare for minor ailments. And she dealt with that. So very proud of her for that. She wasn't sure she'd be able to, but she did. You know, she got in the zone. I've never done a first aid. I mean, I was a first aider at the resort I worked at in Aviemore, and my job is health related, but I've never had to actually. Well, no, Landmark once. No, that wasn't really for it. There's a guy at Landmark fell over, collapsed in a seizure, but on the way down, his scalp. Not his head, his scalp at the edge of a bench, which came to a sort of blunt edge, and it had unhinged the skin on the top of his head. So by the time I got up to him, the way he'd landed, it was sort of hanging over, you know, like a trap door. So I'm not saying I could see his scalp, I could see something white under there, probably wasn't his scalp, but his scalp was just hanging right open. And with each pulse, more dark blood just kept pumping out, so. Yep. I held a nappy against that because somebody gave me a nappy. We had nothing to hold against that. I remember that. Jesus. So, proud of Charlotte, dealing with that. Well done, Charlotte. So, what was I talking about before that? Right, okay, so she was leaving there when that happened to come pick me up from giving blood because I'm a selfless cunt. No, I give plasma now. That's a different thing I can do because apparently I look over 14 stone. No, I have the body build to donate plasma. There's some sort of build to it. If you look like you might weigh your bath down to the point it no longer effectively repels water from the edges, you can donate plasma. So you go in, it's the same setup. You know, you go in and they give you the questionnaire. Some personal questions on there. Have you had anal sex? I beg your pardon. And I fucked up on this one. Not that I have had anal sex, that's not what I fucked up with. No, one of the questions is, have you been abroad in the past wee while? Doesn't use the words wee while, but it gives you a time period. And I said no. But I've been in Bruges. I was in Bruges last month. So I filled out the fucking paper on the wee clipboard, gave it back, feeling like, I'm good at this. I know how to answer these questions. And I went and sat in the little hallway, drank my water. I got called through. Lewis. Yay. And I do the wee finger prick test. Make sure your hemoglobin's on track. It's fine. And then they just double check the answers. Okay, so, yep, you're not waiting for an operation. You're not bleeding as we talk. You know, you're not on any, like, heroin. No. Don't think steroids. Don't think so. Been abroad. No. And then, oh, fuck. Yes, I have. Which, she jumped up. I wasn't shouting at her. I was just, whoa, yeah, no, fuck, yeah, shit. I have been. Cancel everything. Stop the press. But I think it's because when I went to Bruges, it wasn't on an aeroplane. It was by the train. And it never felt like I went abroad at any point. You know, there was no ceremony. It was just, tss, and we're away, and pff, there you are, you're in France. So, yeah, still got in. I passed. And you go through, and you sit in the seat. It's the exact same thing as giving blood. If you haven't given blood, I can only recommend it because, you know, it's, you don't need it all, and you can really help people in ways you wouldn't imagine. And you sit in the same chair, and then they stick the thing in the crook of your elbow. But instead of going into the wee blood bag, it goes into this big filter machine, like you're on dialysis, and plasma's in your blood, and they separate it, and it pumps back in, so you get your blood back. But they take the plasma out, and it goes to medicines and research, and it helps burn victims and all kinds of things, guys. So I'm not being asked to promote this, but if you can go and donate, go ahead. Please do. And you get a little biscuit afterwards. I had a Kit Kat. It was nice. Now, I'm sitting there, enjoying myself. And the nurse is every now and again looking at where the needle goes in. And I'm sort of picking up on something's not quite, I don't know. Okay. And she keeps asking how I'm feeling and stuff, which they don't usually neglect you, but they don't usually ask so often, how's that? Does that feel okay and stuff? It's fine. And then they put a wee bit of cotton over where the needle goes in, mainly so you can't see. Oh, my headphones are. There we go. so you can't see the, you know, the wound, like a racehorse. They keep your eyes forward. And I'm sitting there, and then suddenly I feel a sort of sharp, well, not sharp, it's a very dramatic word. I feel a ping in where the needle is, and I'm like, ooh, never felt that before. So I said to her, I felt a sort of sharp sting. And she went, yeah, I think we're going to call it there. And she lifts the, I'd given over half a bag, which is ideal, because they want over half. Over half counts as one. Ideally, they want two, but they can take one. I'd already given over half a bag. She, yeah, we're just going to call it there. And she lifts up the wee fabric thing, and all the skin around the needle is like bulged up. And, you know, shuts everything down and stuff like that. And then she comes over and she's pressing a wee swab thing against it. Scrap bit of bandage. And she asks, you know, can you hold that there? Yeah, of course, of course. And I'm not looking at it. I'm just waiting to leave. She comes over, oh, you're leaking through. I look down, it's going red. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, there's quite a bit of blood coming out there. And she puts a sticky thing over it, and there's probably medical terms for this, puts a sticky thing over it, and then wraps a big bandage around it, around my elbow and stuff. Just keep it there for a few hours. And basically what happened was the angle of the needle in my arm, it wasn't the best. You know, just one of these things that happens. Just when it goes in, it didn't sit properly. And with the plasma donation, the blood comes out, it gets filtered, and it spits the blood back in. So when the blood was going back in, it wasn't going in perfectly. So I took the bandage off last night, and I've got a gnarly bruise, like a red bruise. My elbow looks pretty fucked up. But they got the plasma, and I got my biscuit. So what matters there, guys? What matters? Although, I like to ask questions. Not in like a, you know, you see these far-right pricks on Twitter. I'm just asking questions. Not like that. I'm just very inquisitive. Always have been. And I asked her, because you sit for a while. You know, it's not quick, you know, it's not quick in and out. And she's asking about my work, and you make idle chit-chat and talk about ambulance delays, and it's no use, and we all agree it's all bad, and the NHS is, you know, we're lamenting the same problems. And I got thinking about private healthcare, because somebody at work, there's a big problem the other night at work, with massive delays on ambulances. And I remember a long time ago, when I was call handling, somebody, not from up here, somebody else. When I say somebody else, like I know who they are. No, you know, they were from up here. They phoned for an ambulance, and I told them, okay, you know, went through it all, and one was on the way. And then the voice, the person, I shan't give any description, the person said, can you take me to this hospital? I'm registered here. And I put in the notes of the call, you know, patient requests this hospital. End of the call. And then later, on my break, because I would never use my phone on my desk, on my break, I googled the hospital, and it's a private hospital. I was like, oh, I didn't know you could. Can you do that? Can you go to a private hospital with an NHS ambulance? And I considered it. And then I asked the nurse doing the blood and the plasma donation, where do they get their blood stores from? Because I donate my blood, my plasma, for the NHS. I donate it so that anybody who needs it within the NHS can use it. You know, whether they're rich or poor, or fat or thin or junkies or straight-laced, if it's in the NHS, that's who I'm donating it for. It's for that research. And I don't donate it, you know, for free, donate, to be sold to private hospitals for folk that jump the queue to use. I mean, you know, if she'd said, oh, we do, I wasn't going to pull the needle out of my arm at that point. I wasn't going to just stand up and pull out the needle. But she didn't know. She doesn't know where they get their blood from, because there's no apparently there's no private blood donation services in the UK. So I'm going to have to try and, get to the bottom of that. I'm going to Google that once and lose interest. But yeah, on principle, I donate blood to the NHS so that people in the NHS can use it. Not private hospitals. They can get their own fucking blood. You want to skip the queue, you deal with that. I don't know, it's got me thinking. So is that everything going on in my life at the moment? Oh, I was going to say, so afterwards Charlotte came and picked me up, because I walked there, because, you know, got to lose weight, maybe fucking putting the bath through the floor. No, I just walked there because it was a day off, and it was a nice enough afternoon, raining a little bit, but I walked up, and she came and picked me up, and went and got some food for dinner. And while we were in Tesco, there was a Tannoy announcement in the store. I could have first aid her and go to the, you know, go to this aisle. Look at Charlotte, we'll go get him. And then later on, as we were walking through the store, yeah, there was some poor lady completely unconscious, KO'd, collapsed on the floor. I didn't look, Charlotte saw her. I was looking at the carrier bags. They have some wacky designs, those carrier bags. No, seriously, though, in Tesco, you can get carrier bags, little ducks on them, I think, at the moment. I was checking them out. Charlotte, oh, did you see that lady? No. No, I was looking at the bags. So that was my day. But I can't think of much else going on. Oh, we had a leap year yesterday. So, happy leap year. Don't know if that's a thing. Don't know what happens with a leap year. Women can propose to... We allow it to happen. Women can propose to men. And children that are born get a conversation icebreaker for the rest of their life. You know, tell me something about yourself.
I was born in a leap year.
Oh, so you're only like, well, you're only 5 years old, 6 years old. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Happy leap year. Got an email from the Krispy Kreme donut folk on the 28th. You know, hi, Lewis. You look like you weigh the bath down. You look like a fat bastard. Would you like to buy some donuts? Oh, yeah, sure. Cool. You can get a dozen glazed original for only $2.99 or something. I'm fucking salivating at this point. Like, holy shit. Because it's a leap year, it's a special day. They got this deal on £2.99 or whatever, £2.50, I don't know, for 12 original glazed. And it's the original glazed I buy when I go there. If I do go to a Krispy Kreme, or cream, but I think it's pronounced creme. It's the plain ring with a little bit of sweetener, delicious. It says, terms and conditions apply. So I'm hang on, alright, okay. Fucking thicker glasses on, leaning close. What are these terms and conditions? Well, you sneaky bastard. You have to buy original... No, not original. You have to buy 12 at the full price. And that's like, what, 30 quid? No, that's like, I don't know, £15 or something like that. Okay, so that's not happening. I'm not spending £15 on donuts to get a further 12 for £2.99. So, no donuts. Which isn't the worst thing to, you know, do. Look after myself a little bit. On principle, I'm not spending that amount of money on donuts. That pissed me off. That ruined my week. What a fucking end to that February. No, that was all fine. And had something else that popped up. I was like, oh, I can put that on the podcast. Yes, Kate Middleton. If you... the Princess Kate. I'm not sure what her title is. The Duchess, the Dame, the fucking apprentice queen. Prince William's wife. So, she will be queen. Possibly. Possibly soon. No, she will be queen someday. Maybe. Is apparently missing. It was on Twitter. So that's a bit of excitement. She's not been seen this year yet. Which, bear in mind, we're only like 30 days. No, fucking 60 days into now. So, I don't really give a fuck. You know? I don't usually know where she is. So now that I still don't know where she is, that doesn't change my life at all. But Twitter was going wild with the conspiracy theories. Who knows? But also, who's tracking these folk? Who is it that's pointing out? You know, I haven't seen Kate Middleton in some time. Who? Oh, I haven't actually been aware of her whereabouts since December 27th. People out there keep track of this shit. Like the folk that follow Taylor Swift's jet. Which is a bit different. These jets, I think if you do call out them for using their jets, maybe that is a bit, that's more understandable, because from what I understand, these things, you know, it's like 500 car journeys or something like that if you take a private jet. Why is that a thing? Why are you allowed a private jet? I don't know. Just, why are private jets a thing? And then is it not public knowledge that where planes fly? I've seen folk at work watching like flight radar and stuff like that. If there's a helicopter coming in, they can see where it's come from. And where it's come from, where did it come from, where did you go? You know, so, I don't know. Are planes allowed to be anonymous in the air? I don't think you should be allowed a private plane. But who am I? Who am I to say? If I could afford one, would I have one? Probably.
Yeah, that's not a lie. Young people, oh, have you, you know, this billionaire's got an island. That's terrible.
If I could afford an island, guys, I'd probably have one. Not an Epstein island. Fuck that. Just a humble island. He flew his private jet there. That's a problem, wasn't it? Who's on Epstein's jet going to his island? Not a good note to end the podcast on. But yeah, right. If I could afford a private jet, would I have one? Possibly. Likely. I'd probably just have a driver. But then, where do I drive now? I drive to the shop. I drive to work. If I can afford a driver, would I be going to work? Would I be going to the shop? No. So where would I need a driver for? I guess, guys, we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it, when I've got my fortune.
But I'm going to call that there. I am going to call it there, guys. That's half an hour. That's what I aim for, sort of 30 minutes. Now, once again, sadly this week, no listener mail. No one's written in. That's fine. That's, once again, cry in the sunken shower. So nothing to read out, I'm afraid. So I will end with the, of course, the thanks to Blackmail for the theme tune and to Cora for the artwork, the logo. Thank you very much, guys, for lending your talents to the podcast. And to you, listener, if you want to get in touch, if you want to anything to say, just check out the website. It's www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. Once again, www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. There's a wee tab on the website, contact. Just go on there, get in touch. At some point, I'm going to put up a recipe for croque monsieur. It's a pretentious toasty, if you've never had one. So I'm going to get that written up, put on there. Because I want to. No, because I'm trying to draw traffic to the website, and apparently if you put up food things, I always get something in. But when I write like I talk. So there's swears. I don't know if that pool is in. You know, I don't know if Google's going to recommend a fucking toasty. So we'll see where that goes. So yes, thank you, Blackmail. Thank you, Cora. Feel free to get in touch, guys. And until next time, as always, you look after yourself. Be good to each other. Drink some exercise. Plenty of sleep. Drink your water. Be good to each other. All right, don't take any shit. Just be good. I'll speak to you next time, guys. Bye for now.